The Old Testament reading for the fifth Sunday of Easter is from Isaiah chapter 12. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away, that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation, and you will say in that day, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the peoples, proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from James chapter 1. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness that God requires. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "But now I am going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." You may be seated. One of the mysteries about the Holy Trinity, let alone that God is one God in three persons, is this communication between the persons. Now, in theology, we talk about the economy of the Trinity, which is how all three persons interact, even as God is one God. And there are internal and external dimensions to this, things that we can observe in their work, that the Bible teaches us. The external things, for instance, are those works attributed to the different persons, such as creation with the Father, redemption with the Son, sanctification with the Holy Spirit, which you guys know all too well as you went through the Creed in your catechesis class, and all the while maintaining the oneness to his very essence of God. So it starts to get a bit deep, and you begin to scratch your head at times trying to make sense of it all, but at the end of the day, the Holy Trinity is a mystery. We confess it. It doesn't mean we understand it. Now, in the gospel reading today, there is some of this revealed about the work of the Holy Trinity. As Jesus speaks about himself, he speaks about the Holy Spirit, and he speaks about the Father. But there's a purpose in this, as Jesus said. He's not simply giving you a theological lecture, but he's proclaiming great comfort to the disciples and to you. So listen again to what your Lord said. Jesus said, "But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged." And so Jesus, the very Son of God, went to the Father as he was offered up on the cross for your salvation. So the disciples didn't ask in our reading today, "Where are you going?" because they knew the answer. Jesus had told them many times in the Gospels, and he had to rebuke them for not wanting him to go and do what must be done. But Jesus reiterates what must happen and why. The hymn of the day for this Sunday of the church year, "Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice," is a great hymn. And you notice how Luther starts off, Martin Luther wrote that hymn, of kind of autobiographical, and then he goes into the work of redemption, and he even takes us even to Ascension Day. You kind of have the whole Easter season in there as well, along with the whole life of Christ. But notice a couple of things that we heard as we sang in stanzas 5 and 6 that really connect us to this reading today. We hear this in stanza 5. "God said to his beloved Son, 'It's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow, set them free. Slay better death for them, that they may live with you forever.'" And then in stanza 6, "The Son obeyed his Father's will, was born of virgin mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. His royal power disguised he bore, A servant's form like mine he wore to lead the devil captive. And so there's something beautiful in all of this, of what Jesus is proclaiming and what you just sang in that hymn. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, was sent by the Father for the purpose of being obedient to the Father in his life and in his death. Jesus was sent to do this and went back to the Father having accomplished what he was sent to do. Your Lord, in his perfect, obedient, sinless life, was to be sacrificed in place of you. And so Jesus told his disciples that he goes back to the Father and he goes back through the cross. His path passes through death. And so is it to your advantage that Jesus did this? Absolutely. Without the Word becoming flesh, without his conception by the Holy Spirit, without his perfect life, without his sacrificial death, all would be lost. God's law, the suffering of God's wrath against you and your sin, you would be lost forever. And as we heard last week, and we'll continue in the weeks ahead, Jesus points you to his ascension as well, where he rules and reigns at the right hand of the Father in all glory, even as he is still present here with you now as he is fully God and fully man. So we're at that point then in the church year. We're kind of at that halfway point in this Easter season where the focus of the gospel reading is preparing you for Pentecost and for ascension, which is coming up. So notice I mentioned last week that our gospel reading last week comes after the reading for this week. But there's a purpose for that. Jesus was telling you about that little while as you have sorrow and suffering, but the joy that cannot be taken from you because of what your Lord has done. And so Jesus is pointing you and orienting to you what you have as you go through this life. Salvation has been accomplished. It's done. It's complete. So Jesus goes away to suffering and death so that you are forgiven and have eternal life. And he is raised for your justification. Now all things have been fulfilled and complete, and he sees to it that salvation is distributed or given out to you. And at the ascension of Jesus, he promises you the Lord is present, that he's ruling over you, his church, and he has gone to the right hand of the Father and still is with you always to the end of the age. All of this is for your advantage, right here, right now. And so the advantage that you have is that Holy Spirit is working because he has been sent by the Son. And so in some ways, it's good that we have Confirmation Sunday on this Sunday of the church year, because Jesus is giving you a little bit of a catechesis on the third article of the creed. I won't quiz you about that now. You guys already passed that part. So the Holy Spirit, who is fully God, just as much as the Father and Son is, because God is one, he's doing mighty things in the world, in your midst, and in your life. The world stands without excuse as it is convicted before God and its sin. When you look around you and you see the state of affairs, you see the sinful state of which we live, of which we ourselves too, in our sin, rightly deserve, the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, through that Word of law, reveals and shows the unbelief which is all around. Likewise, the Holy Spirit shows that righteousness is found only in one who is righteous. Jesus. It's Jesus who went to the Father on your behalf. Seeking righteousness in any other way or form is not only impossible, but mocks Christ, the righteous one. And with all of this too, the ruler of the world, the devil, is judged. It's the Easter season. Death has been defeated. The devil is lost, and you are the victor. He has been judged, and so turn away from Christ, his word, and his church, and you stand under that same judgment as the devil. And this is what the Holy Spirit is proclaiming to you as you have God's word in your midst. He convicts, he convinces through the word, as the Greek word has both of those meanings of convict and convince in it. And there is a pronouncement and also a content to be heard and learned in what he says. There's a warning for the church. God warns you to pay attention to the Holy Spirit. God's voice is speaking. Don't neglect it. In the epistle reading from St. James today, God said this: "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So as you take this all to heart today, and you see what the Holy Spirit is doing, you see the comfort in what Jesus tells you. Jesus said, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So what the Holy Spirit does is he listens, and then he proclaims. He proclaims to you and gives to you. The Greek word here that Jesus uses for what the Holy Spirit does is the same word for declare, and it's connected to the word for angel. Now, Jesus isn't saying that the Holy Spirit is an angel. The Holy Spirit is God. But what Jesus is telling you is that the Holy Spirit has a message, and there's a content to his message that he is handing over to you. And he is sent as a messenger with this message. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't just simply zap saying faith, and that happens, but the Holy Spirit is a preacher. You have the word of God. You have that very word which is able to save your souls, and you have the Holy Spirit working through that word of God. And so the Holy Spirit, Luther famously said, is a preacher. This is one of the reasons why we as Lutherans rightly stress that the proper work of the Holy Spirit. Because anytime you think of the Holy Spirit and what he does, you should automatically think means of grace, word and sacraments. Because there's certainty, there's comfort in what Jesus says. As you sit here today, as you go about each and every day of your life, you aren't guessing if God is at work in your life. You aren't sitting around wondering, is God for me? You aren't sitting around trying to search where God is to be found. No, you know these things. Jesus tells you these things. Jesus promises you the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, is your helper, your comforter, your counselor, all of these things. And what is he? He has been sent to you to give Jesus and his work to you through the means of grace. His purpose is to deliver salvation for you, one for you. And so is he at work right now? He most certainly is. And he's saying to you, your sin is forgiven. You are an heir of eternal life. And there is no doubt in that whatsoever. There's absolute certainty. And even as he has called you by the gospel to faith and gathered you together as the Holy Christian Church, God is at work. He's declaring all of these things to you. And for you confirmands, this is why you make those vows, that you will be faithful in receiving these gifts, because this is where God is present for you to deliver these things to you, strengthening you, keeping you, guarding you. He has delivered this faith to you, and he keeps you in it. So dear Christians, one and all, rejoice this day. Sing to the Lord and call upon him. Salvation is accomplished. Christ's work is finished, and you know what is yours. All of it that Jesus has done, his perfect life, his atoning death, his resurrection from the dead, eternal life, it's yours. It's handed over to you. The Holy Spirit himself, God himself, gives you salvation. And think about that for a second. So I started off by talking about the Holy Trinity and all that he is and all that he does, and what is that great mystery? But yet your Lord has revealed this to you. And the great comfort that you have as God has won for you the day and he gives it to you now. Jesus said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So in all that is the mystery of the Holy Trinity, all that he is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all that he has, his righteousness, all of his work, the Holy Spirit hands over to you through that word of God. He takes what belongs to the Son. He takes what belongs to Jesus and declares it to you. And it's yours freely and solely out of God's mercy and grace to you in Christ. So here it is, dear saints. Here's Christ. You're baptized into him and he gives you his scriptures. He preaches to you. He feeds you with his own body and blood given and shed for you. Jesus is for you and you are his. And this glorifies Jesus. And you have eternal life. And the Holy Spirit is with you right now and promises this is where he is to be found to continue giving you these gifts. And so together as the Christian church, what do you say? Well, you just sang it. To me, he said, stay close to me. I am your rock and castle. Your ransom I myself will be. For you I strive and wrestle. For I am yours and you are mine. And where I am, you may remain. The foe shall not divide us. Though he will shed my precious blood, me of my life bereaving, all this I suffer for your good. Be steadfast and believing. Life will from death the victory win. My innocence shall bear your sin, and you are blessed forever. Christ has done it. It's yours. You are blessed forever. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.